Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Ramsey. The fence, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down. Ian Cameron will join us in a couple of moments. All right, so I'm going to break a story here without even knowing the story, but I'm very good. You got to read between the lines. I'm good at sort of predicting the future for this stuff, and it's all falling into place right now. As I just saw Darren Dreger. For those of you who aren't aware, Darren Dreger is a hockey insider. You know, hockey, you know, that's his, he's like the Adam Schefter. He's like an Adam Schefter type of the NHL, right? Never played or anything. He's a dude that, you know, insider. But he's a respected guy. He's a nice guy and stuff. I'm not taking any pot shots or anything like that. I sounded sarcastic. He's an insider. So I didn't mean that. Hey, nice guy. I've never met him, but I've got no beef with him or whatever, you know? So I think I did actually meet him briefly, whatever. So anyway, Darren Dreger. I see Darren Dreger just says, he hears that Team Canada is thinking of pulling out of the Spengler Cup. He said, reports are, Darren Dreger says, Team Canada is going to inform the Spengler Cup. They're not going to play in the tournament. The Spengler Cup is a tournament of sort of like a Champions League, actually, of hockey. It's really cool. So it's like a bunch of, it's all these teams in Europe, like different from different leagues, and they play over the holidays because their leagues were shut down. It's like a little European championship of like club teams. So, you know, team from Finland, team from Sweden, team, you know, there's a bunch of teams and they're all in the tournament. And Canada's big into hockey, and Canada obviously doesn't have a team, but the thing is there's so many Canadians that play on those in the European leagues. Canada has a team, and it's like a national team, and they play against like a team from Sweden or whatever. And it just, there was a report, Dreger saying, yeah, that Canada's going to inform the Spengler Cup they're not playing. So you know what that means. It's a domino effect. They're going to send a Spengler Cup team to the Olympics. Like, I can pretty much tell you right now. We've already predicted, we've said this and whatever. It's been discussed. I'm not telling you all, I'm the only one, whatever. But I'm telling you now, like, it's for real, real. That's the plan. That's what's going to happen. They're setting it up. They're already leaking right now, constantly. I've seen constant hockey insiders today saying that a decision and an announcement is coming this week and in the coming days, like, you know, probably Tuesday type thing, Tuesday, Wednesday, as far as the NHL's participation in the Olympics for ice hockey. And, you know, we know where this is going. I mean, how the hell, and you can't even call the NHL out on this. I'd like to. I got a long take on that. We'll get to that. We'll have time to get into that another time. But you can't blame the NHL for this or the players or whatever. They can't even play in their own league right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're having a hard time running the NHL right now, literally and figuratively. If you're not paying attention, like, half the league shut down. So how the hell are they going to be sending players to China and in the middle of a pandemic that supposedly, whatever, you know what I mean, all this? So, I think that's the deal. They're gonna send the Spengler Cup team. It's pretty much all but done. It's It's the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. It's chaos, isn't it? Oh, yeah. It's chaos and carnage. But I'll tell you what, we love it. Bring it on. It's not March Madness, but whatever it is, it's good. All right, because we got a bunch of football going on. We got afternoon football tomorrow, the Las Vegas Raiders and the Cleveland Browns. Throw it down, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific. Some afternoon football for Raider fans on the Strip in Vegas. Raiders are getting 3 points, total 41.5. If you're just joining us, I'm looking at the I don't trust the Raiders just getting three. To me, this game has 3 points written all over it, man. Like, this game really does. The odds makers have a job for a reason, and I think they set a great number on this game. I can totally see the Browns winning by three. I can see the Raiders losing by two. I can see it, like, you know, I'm coming back to, like, 2017, 16, 13, 16, 14. Hell, 21-17 keeps us under the number. I think the way to go, if you like to tease football games, and I don't love same-game teasers, but I think this is a good one. Raiders plus 10, under 48.5. We're leaning with the Chicago Bears right now, but tune in at 6 o'clock Eastern right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks at 6 o'clock Eastern, and we'll break down this game. I'm talking about the Raiders and the Browns now because we're not going to be with you before kickoff, so that's why I'm reminding people. That's my play. Follow me on Twitter at SportsRage, and I'll post some props for this game, and hopefully we do better with our props in this game than we did in the Sunday nighter tonight. Wow. I don't know if you guys remember. Remember last year they held the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to 3 points. Tonight they freaking shut them out, man. And it's unbelievable how this is just happening all the time. And it's one thing that sort of saved me tonight is that I was New Orleans Saint prop heavy, which is kind of crazy. But I like the Saints. I took the Saints plus the points in the game. And I like to say, oh, I'm a genius, and oh, look at me, how smart I was to take the Saints. And I told you guys the Saints are going to make the playoffs last week and take them at plus 300. But I really can't because I screwed it up. I blew my own money by taking the by teasing this game to the over. I actually went contrarian thinking, you know what? This can't happen again. We talked about it before. I was like, there's no way they're holding them to 3 points. Brady's getting into the 20s, and the Saints are going to lose, but they're going to cover the number. And no. They get shut out. Brady looked pretty beaten down after the game, but Bano next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the babanos, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's Sunday, bloody Sunday. Ian Cameron. What's going on, babano? Thanks for stepping in. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, doing very good, Gabe. It's another crazy Sunday of NFL action, and really crazy because certainly more than a few results that left people very surprised when it was all said and done.
I warned people all week that it had the feel of the last week of the season in which you don't really know who's playing. There's a lot of double-digit point spreads, and I actually tweeted this morning, and there's going to be a lot of traps all over the board, and I fell into a couple of the traps myself. And the dogs were barking, and not just barking, but they were biting, and they were drawing blood. As the Arizona Cardinals, Babano, good example right there, huh, against the Detroit Lions. Listen, I'm pounding the drum. I'm always talking about how the Lions cover the spread all the time. I didn't see this coming today. They're a beaten down, depleted football team, and as far as injuries are concerned in their roster, and they just absolutely smoked Arizona. That was no like fluke win right there. They smoked Arizona. The New York Jets get the cover as big dogs. Baltimore and Green Bay. I was all over the Baltimore Ravens getting the points, but the underdogs, massive day. And it's been a dog year, Babano.
Yeah, it was. And look, before we get carried away with the narrative that Arizona all of a sudden sucks and they're frauds, and I'm hearing people say that on Twitter following the loss to Detroit, let's calm down. Obviously, it was a bad result. It was a horrible loss. There's no sugarcoating that whatsoever, but we have to be careful about being prisoners of the moment, about being victimized by one single result. All right. And yes, it was a horrible game. I mean, the entire team. I mean, they couldn't stop Jared Goff throwing the football. He carved them up through the air, which was stunning to say the least. The offense never got on any sort of traction with Kyler Murray today. It was just a bad game. That doesn't mean it's a bad football team. You know, let's see how they respond from it. They got a big game with the Indianapolis Colts next Saturday on Christmas Day. You know, let's calm down with this, you know, overreaction, knee-jerk reaction that all of a sudden Arizona doesn't even deserve to be a playoff team. It's a bad game, horrible game. They obviously a loss that they don't want. Nobody wants to see them have if you're in that organization. But, you know, let's calm down. Let's see how they respond next week.
Well, I do agree. We're kicking it with Ian Cameron. I am Gabe Lorenzi. We're throwing it down Sirius XM Channel 159. The Mightier 1090 and all of our AM radio affiliates. I agree, Babano, and that's, you know, that's my mantra pretty much. Sounds like you're listening to me finally when I always tell people the same thing. One game, chill out, right? You know, and especially at this time of the year, it's, you know, people, if you win or lose right now, doesn't mean you're going to win or lose the Super Bowl. But at the same point in time, let's be real. Arizona are not playing their best. They're playing their worst football right now. That's what it's all about to me, man. It's not about, like, the wins and losses. Obviously, you got to get in, right, to the playoffs, and then it whatever happens after that happens. But it's to me, it's just about playing your best football going into the playoffs. And Arizona aren't right now. But as you stated, I wouldn't hit any panic button. Their schedule isn't easy, though. What a game for Christmas. Indianapolis and Arizona next week in the desert in Arizona. Then the Cardinals at Cowboys. And now the Seahawks at Cardinals, and the Seahawks aren't dead yet. So still a lot of football left for Arizona. Similar to Buffalo, Babano. Look at Buffalo. Everybody loved Buffalo, praised them, made them Super Bowl favorites. Buffalo has a rough month, and everybody buries them, jumps off the bandwagon. And truth be told, Buffalo beats New England, and suddenly they're in first place, and everything's okay again. But Babano, you're right. It's a roller coaster, dude, this stuff.
Yeah, well, Buffalo, that's a huge game next week against New England. They got to show they can step up, beat a really quality opponent because they have one win against a really quality opponent this year. And that was Kansas City Sunday night several weeks ago when Kansas City wasn't right at the time, when Kansas City was kind of struggling at the time. So it's a huge game coming up for the Buffalo Bills. And it's huge in the sense that not only, you know, are they in the division race, but if they beat New England, all of a sudden the control of their own destiny for the AFC East is in their hands.
And you love repeating what I say, don't you, Babano? I just said that. If they win the game, they're in first place.
Yep. But they
I said it a lot faster than you.
The bottom line, the point I'm trying to make is that New England doesn't control their own destiny if Buffalo wins next week. Even though they have the same record, Buffalo would have control of their own destiny in that division. So it's an enormous game for them. Now, it was great to see them bounce back today against Carolina, but Carolina's got issues. Cam Newton and the offense is broken right now. We saw it again today. They've just been awful on that side of the football, and Buffalo took advantage of that. You know, there's still some things that bother me. There was still a bad interception right before halftime from Josh Allen. There were too many penalties. I don't know what got into Spencer Brown on the offensive
line. But now you're sounding like people are when you talk about Arizona.
Yeah.
Like Josh, bad interception from Josh Allen. Dude, that's who he is. Like every quarterback, whatever. That's what they do.
He's going to have. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Josh Allen throwing an interception near the end of the half. That's like, you just said your own point. That's nothing to do with anything that's going to happen in the playoffs. Besides, whatever. Like their offense, it can't be fully trusted. Right? That's just the bottom line. You can talk about, oh, he threw an interception here. It's about the fact is the Bills' offense has been inconsistent. Yet their stats look good. That's why I always tell people as well, like the stats stuff. Whatever, man, the Bills stats like make them look better than they are, Babano, right? Because they put up big points against bad teams and it's bolstered their stats in a big way. I can't disagree. We have to see the Bills. You know, this is it. They've won big games. You can't say they haven't over the last couple of years. So it's not like they have to prove they need to win a big game. They've won a lot of big games. They won the division last year. So obviously they've won big games. They went to the AFC Conference Championship game. But they need to, like, they need to knock the Patriots over here. The Colts did, and, you know, the Colts did you a favor. Yep. It's up to them to finish the job right now and just, you know, remind New England, hey, by the way, you know, we're not just, you know, you're not back and taking this division over this easily right now. Going to be a fun football game day after Christmas, big-time day here. Boxing Day, literally and figuratively, because there's going to be collisions in the National Football League. But we've got games to get to, and who knows what happens in the next week, actually. As far as COVID, but we've got games to get to, and normally we have a Monday nighter to get to, but we got a doubleheader on Monday. We got a doubleheader on Tuesday, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Raiders and Browns, and you want to talk about a roller coaster battle? There's probably been, I don't know, like 9 different point spreads for this game, right? Like it's been everything, man. Cleveland's been -6. The Raiders have been -3.5, and everything else in between. And now it settles in Cleveland -3.
I don't want Las Vegas. I know that. I'm washing my hands of the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if they've got anything left in them. That was such a horrendous loss against Kansas City. They have lose a close one against Washington. The question is, who's going to be on the field? Who's going to be healthy for Cleveland? And now they see Baltimore lose to Green Bay. Credit to Tyler Huntley, though. Great game from him. Loss aside for the Ravens, he played a really nice game today for the Baltimore Ravens. But, you know, obviously for Cleveland, they ran through COVID-19 quite a bit. We'll see who's able to suit up for them in this game. But I know right now I don't want Las Vegas. I think Cleveland's good enough in the short price range to get the win, get the cover. And again, with Baltimore losing to Green Bay, it's there for the taking. Cleveland is first place in the AFC North if they win this game tomorrow. And I still think they're the better of these two teams. So it's Browns or pass for me.
I was going to take the Raiders if they played on Saturday. But the Browns get pretty lucky here. They're still pretty, their roster is still pretty depleted, but it is a winnable game.
It's a huge advantage for them that it's Monday instead of Saturday. There's no doubt about that.
It's bought them time. I wouldn't just discount the Raiders, though. I mean, it's the NFL. It's an erratic league, and the Browns are an erratic team as well. But the situation, look at last week, Babano. The situation was sort of gift wrapped for the Browns. You know what I mean? It's like, guys, you played Baltimore. They had to play Pittsburgh, and you had a bye week, right? And what happened? They won the game, but they won by 2. Like, it wasn't easy for them, right? They won the game, but they won by 2. And now they get a similar situation. Because you know what? Think about it, Babano. If you're the Raiders, it freaking sucks, man. You've been in Cleveland.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
It's like Thursday now. You know what I mean? Thursday night, Friday morning. Like, it's like you've been, it's just annoying, right? You've been living in a hotel. It changes your whole routine. Now, suddenly, you got a short week this week to play Denver after, all because of the Cleveland Browns. And the irony of this, guys, is the Raiders were like one of the only teams in the NFL that didn't have any positives last week. They had no one test positive, yet somehow they're getting screwed over, and Cleveland gets to wait like the Rams did. More of a Babano on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Sunday, bloody Sunday. We're breaking it down with Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Taking a look at the double headers that we have coming up. We got college football as well that we'll get to. So as we alluded to, the Cleveland Browns are laying 3 points in this game. Total is 41.5 points. And, man, there's been a lot of movement here. It opened up at 6 last week, guys, if you recall. And then it went down, and then it swung all around. We were talking about how we've never seen a 9.5 point swing before, but here we are right now. So Babano says that he likes the Cleveland Browns in this spot. And at this low number, it's hard to disagree. You know, like I said, you can have different stances on a game, Babano, on different days, especially a game like this in which the point spread and the scenario and the situation has changed as much as it has. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. The total is 41.5, and the odds makers aren't expecting a lot of points either here. So you think you like Cleveland. You think Cleveland's the right side, you said, right?
Yeah. I'm going to make sure I look just before kickoff. We're going to get finalized, you know, confirmations, all the, you know, you'll get all the tweets about who's in and who's out. But if it looks like they're moderately healthy or moderately have most of their able bodies available, the Browns on both sides of the football, I'll be looking at laying the 3 for sure.
It's going to be close, Babano. I'm telling you right now. Like, it will not be easy for Cleveland. There's certain teams.
It won't be. They find a way to let teams hang around.
They don't know how to win.
I don't like Darren Waller being out for the Raiders either. That's significant. That's a huge chunk of their passing game now, not very available to them.
Yeah, he's been out for weeks now, but I don't know why he hasn't come back yet. According to the injury that he supposedly has, he should be playing. But I'm not questioning him. I'm not saying, oh, he's soft. I'm just stating that, Corey, we talked about this with Dr. Chow. According to the injury that Waller has, like, Dr. Chow doesn't understand why Waller's not playing, essentially. We'll put it that way. He said they're not telling you the truth about what his real injury is, because what they're saying and what it is two different things, evidently. Right. Otherwise, he'd be on the field. But you're right. It's devastating. It was one thing. What happened is, too, when they lost Ruggs, they were still moving the ball a bit. They were still throwing it. You know, Carr was doing a nice job just finding guys, but, you know, like you said, Waller's a stud, right? And teams were double teaming Waller, and it was affecting him. It was affecting the Raiders offense even when Waller was there. And now when Waller's not there, now, like you said, Carr's almost just helpless here, man. He's got his hands tied behind his back. I give a lot of credit to Carr and what he's been through this year. And they've kept fighting. All right, so Minnesota and Chicago, which was just going to be the only game on the board. And I hate having the Bears on TV as much as they are. They were on TV last week against Green Bay. It's stupid. Right? Nobody wants to see the Bears on TV as much as they are. But since they are, we're going to bet it. And this is another one in which I wish the Bears weren't missing as many guys as they were. But there's no way in hell I'm laying 6.5 points on the road with the Minnesota Vikings, Babano.
Yet I'd still only take Minnesota in this game because Chicago's got a COVID outbreak now. The two tackles might miss this game, Jason Peters and Larry Borum. That's a concern. Man, that is a concern, because the one thing the Vikings have is a really good pass rush that can get after the quarterback. And if they don't have the offense left or right tackle, the Bears, that's going to be a problem. I agree with you, though, about laying 6 with Minnesota. I could only take Minnesota, but they have the
knack of just about it. What I don't understand. We just talked about how it's a dog league. Dogs always are covering, and you know, Detroit, the Jets, all these like bad teams cover them. Yep. And then you're like, well, I can't trust this team because of that. They're all untrustworthy, Babano. Right? Like, they're all without tackles, they're all without guys, they're all without everything. Like, did anyone talk, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying they're all beat up. Yep. Right? Like that's my point. Every football team in the freaking league is like walking wounded right now for the most part.
Yeah, not only walking wounded, but COVID issues as well. So it's a combination of things. Thielen might be back for the Vikings. Of course, the Bears on defense, they've not been good for weeks. Actually, the over is what I think I'll actually end up betting for sure in this game, 44. I mean, it does bother me now with the offensive line situation. Both starting tackles for the Bears isn't ideal. But I think Chicago can run the football. I think you don't worry about protecting for the quarterback. Run the football with David Montgomery, because the one thing for the Vikings is their run defense has been leaky the last little bit. So there could be an opportunity for them to be able to run the football a bit, Chicago, and be able to move the ball that way. I think the Vikings can move the ball against Chicago. Chicago's defense since Akeem Hicks went down to injury has just not been the same at all. You look at the Chicago defense weeks now that they've been picked apart. I think the Vikings, whether it's Dalvin Cook running the ball or Kirk Cousins throwing it to Justin Jefferson, and certainly Thielen if he comes back, they'll move the ball as well. Actually, the total to me looks a little bit light. I think that's a bet worth making in this game is the over. It's 44. I don't think the weather's going to be terrible in Chicago. Rather than trusting either side, I think we can get enough points to get over that number.
I can't disagree. I'm an over better by general in these primetime games. You know, for the most part, you know, if the number is low enough, I'm sort of intrigued by it. I hear where you're going with the over, but with the Minnesota Vikings, guys, so the Minnesota Vikings have played 13 games this year. They've won once. They've won once by more than 6.5 points. And that was last week against Pittsburgh. Right? In that weird-ass game.
In a game where they were up 29-0 at one point.
Yes. Yes. So I just want to note that. That was their largest margin of victory.
They don't
play
well with a lead. They get tentative. They get conservative. They start to panic a little bit. It's not the kind of
every,
team.
Yeah. But 11 of their 12 games have been decided by a score or less. That's the Vikings deal,
yep.
Right? Like they play up or down to the level of competition, right? If they're playing a good team, they'll be in it, and then they'll lose a heartbreaker. If they're playing a bad team, they'll win, but they'll make it like a complete sweat job. You know, it's tough, though, like you said. And the Bears have injury situations. You have to wonder about their coach,
yep.
Right? To me,
and they're only four ATS last four games. It's not like they've been cast.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. Like, Fields is back. I just care about basically Matt Nagy. Yeah. Right? Can he? Because the players are going to show up, bro. It's not like the players are going to roll over. The players are going to show up. It's Monday Night Football. They're on national television. Everybody plays for themselves. They don't care what the record is. Most of these guys don't even know what their record is. Like, they're playing for contracts and money and stuff. But I just, my concern is I don't like betting on lame duck coaches. And he's a lame duck coach.
Yeah.
Right, so is they not? He's gonna have a crap ass game plan, but athletically, I'm telling you, it's one of those you gotta, as Mark Lawrence calls them, it's the nose plug pick.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta take it and go, oh God, all right, we gotta hope for the best going in here. Look, I did it with the Ravens today. I took the Ravens plus the points, the Falcons plus the points, and the Bengals plus the points in the three late games, all three underdogs, 2-1. Right, it works out 2-1. So for me, I'm leaning with the Bears, as crazy as it sounds. I almost have a hard time saying that out loud. That I'm leaning with the Chicago Bears. But we'll be on tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern, breaking it down with some final picks. Yeah, I tell you what, I'm not laying 6.5 points with the Minnesota Vikings. So yeah. I'll just come up with other ways of attacking this game. Then, you know, it's really tough getting into Tuesday's games due to the COVID stuff. The Eagles are laying 6.5 now against the Washington football team. Another low total, Babano, of 42, man. And then you get the Seattle Seahawks, who are up to 7 against the Los Angeles Rams. And the Rams are probably the team that got the biggest break of this weekend, Babano. They had 23 guys test positive throughout the week, and then they get their game pushed back to Tuesday. Pretty convenient for them that it worked out that way. And just everything with Arizona falling apart right now. The Rams, the division is within their sights, and they get a couple of extra days to get better. It's a cold world, but Seattle are sort of getting screwed here, Babano. But it's up to 7 points right now, man.
Yeah, that's the problem. And with all these, like, this seems like it's tough to back Seattle, but boy, they're laying 6.5, 7 with the, look, the Rams got back on track with a good win against Arizona Monday night. Am I ready to lay this kind of number with them against Seattle? And they already beat Seattle earlier this season in Seattle. That's the game Russell Wilson, I believe he got hurt in that game. That's when Geno Smith had to take over at quarterback for the Seahawks. So
Geno Smith led them to a cover, actually.
That's right.
Russell Wilson wasn't doing anything before. That's the thing. People forget that. Wilson was struggling before he got injured earlier this year, too.
Yeah, so that's a tough one. Tough in a division game late in the season to lay that many points. And Seattle hasn't totally rolled over yet. They beat up Houston last week, which was, I know Houston's bad, but they still drilled them. And then the week before, San Francisco was rolling, and Seattle beat them. You know, so it's not like the Seahawks have tapped on the season. You know, they're still playing hard, so I'm reluctant to lay points there. You know, I might want to take Washington. Let's see who's playing, first of all, for Washington. I'm not thrilled with the fact that we might be looking at Garrett Gilbert, potentially, at quarterback for them in this game. If Heineke and or Allen both can't be activated from the COVID list before the game. But, boy, I don't feel trustworthy of Philly. I just don't. Philly's a Jekyll and Hyde team. Usually when they have a good game like they did the last time out, they don't have a good one the next game. Very erratic, very inconsistent. I kind of like the idea of taking points with the football team there, but let's see who's at quarterback first.
Yeah, there's a lot of instances with these teams, guys. When we say, I wouldn't trust this team laying the points, you know, listen to that inner gut. You know, similar situation like with the Miami Dolphins today against the Jets. Right, I looked at that. I'm like, you know what? The Dolphins are perfect for teasers. They're perfect for parlays. But
you don't want to lay 10 with them.
Yeah, I'm like, you can't lay 10 in this spot with these guys. Same with, like, you know, Green Bay today. Everyone talked about Lamar Jackson. They didn't bring up the fact that 4 of the 5 offensive linemen were out for the Packers. Right? So like, you can't lay that number. And that was the whole theme of the weekend, Babano. Like, looking at games, like, yeah, that team logically should win, and they're logically better, but I don't want to lay those points. And that's sort of looking at these games as well. I already have a bet in on Seattle, but I got screwed. That's why I'm bitter. Because I took Seattle when the Rams had all those guys down, and I got a nice number. Now I have this stupid same number, and all those guys are back. So didn't work out very well for me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Me either. You're like, I got screwed over here. But, hey, you bet on sports. Whatever, you know,
you bet on sports. COVID is going on. That's
Yeah, exactly. You want to put a bet in 4 days in, 4 days in advance, thinking you're getting advantage due to COVID? Well, you got screwed because it is what it is. More of a battle on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage Sunday, Bloody Sunday. I am Gable Renzi, Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the loudest station in the nation. We're breaking it down with Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Follow him on Twitter, at Babano. So, Babano, before we get into the bowl games, and we got a Monday afternoon game to break down, the National Hockey League's had a lot of problems over the last couple of weeks due to Omicron and COVID, and now I've been waiting for them to shut the league down, to be honest. Like, I predicted last week, I said they'll be the first to shut it down because it's fallen apart in a massive way. And then they started in some markets, no fans, limited fans. And now the latest is no cross-border travel games for the time being. I actually think it would probably be in their best interest to shut it down, like now through like to through Christmas. But, man, there's less and less hockey games on the board on a nightly basis, isn't there?
Yeah, it's an impromptu little bit of a rest or a break for me. I mean, minimal games this week to bet on and handicap when you look at the schedule, because all the games involving Canadian versus American teams right through to the Christmas break have been postponed. They don't want any cross-border travel. There's concern on all levels with the teams, with the league. And they decided, you know what, we're not going to have Canadian versus U.S. teams play each other through to the end, Christmas break, which is from December 24th to the 26th. So we'll have to see Monday, December 27, which is the scheduled return date for the NHL after the Christmas break, what they decide to do. But you're only going to see U.S. versus U.S. Teams for the next few days before the Christmas break.
And the World Junior Championships will take center stage.
Yep.
And, you know, the World Junior Championships are cool. That it is good hockey. It is tense, right? Like for people that World Junior Championships, it's basically, you know what I mean? It's the future stars of the National Hockey League representing their countries. But it's hardcore. Like, it's taken extremely seriously by everybody. And the NHL Network covers it. They promote it. The thing with the World Juniors is, Babano, and this is always the problem with it, some sports books have it, some sports books don't, right? So that's why, like, we talk about it a bit. Like, I'll bring it up. I might bring up a score or a crazy game or something. But quite frankly, like, all right, if FanDuel has it, and I know every, like, you can't sort of talk. You can't spend a bunch of time talking about something that not everybody has access to, right? That's the deal. And I don't know. It seems to me as well that the sports books put less action up for this. They used to be more. I don't know if they got beat all the time. I don't know what their reasoning is, because some of these sports books, all these sports books guys take some really random, stupid bets, right? I mean, like ping pong and, you know, like all kinds of weird stuff, you know, like low tier soccer and, you know, whatever. They take like really random, weird action, yet a lot of books don't have the World Junior Hockey Championships, Benno.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's going to change, because I'm starting to see more books even post when it comes to hockey, junior hockey. And I have not seen that for a long period of time, where I'm starting to see more books, not every book, but more with OHL, QMJHL, WHL. And it makes me think that now you're going to also see World Junior Tournament lines become more readily and openly and widely available starting this year, assuming this tournament still goes through.
Because I bet Canada, you're wrong. I'm going to bet you're wrong. Who has OHL and AHL and that stuff?
I've seen a few, believe it or not.
It's all right. But, like, I'll put it this way. Offshores do.
Yes, offshores, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's offshore. So that's not mainstream, Urbano.
Yeah. Mainstream.
Like, you say you've seen books. Like, what book? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? One or two books? Like, you know what I mean?
The mainstream books you see publicized and plastered on television ads. Yeah, it's going to maybe take some more time till you see it on there, if you see it.
Like, never.
I will agree there.
Never. That's the thing. Listen, I was going to call. I was going to personally speak to FanDuel. I was thinking, you know, I'm going to tell these guys, listen, you guys should get this up and do this. But the fact of the matter is they just hockey, even NHL betting, right? Like, you know, we live in Bavana.
Well, let them immigrate to Canada first, and then they can crank up the.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, FanDuel's, like, it's literally less than, like, 2% of their action hockey.
Yeah.
Right? They just don't. It doesn't. It's not, like, hockey is a less best. People bet more on golf than they do hockey. But the thing is, people that like hockey effing love hockey.
That's right.
Like, they're like, hockey's like it's like heavy metal, basically. All right. Heavy metal is not going to be on, you know what I mean? You're not going to hear it like on the radio all the time, but they're going to fill arenas up all the time, right? Hockey is a gate driven league. But like, people, I'm not saying no one bets on hockey. Obviously, there's a ton of people betting on hockey, but it's amazing in the grand picture, though, Babano, right? Because hockey's a niche sport as well. It just is. I mean, I remember I told you that years ago, you took a shot at MLS, and I told you MLS is bigger than the NHL is. But you didn't like hearing that and stuff, but look at the television numbers. You know what I mean? It's not, you know what I mean? I get it. The NHL's franchises are worth more, but like as far as the buzz and the TV numbers and all that type of stuff. But it doesn't mean that's the whole thing. Like, we're in a fractured, sort of like TV cable now.
Which is shocking to me because that's not even close to the best soccer in the world. The NHL is the best hockey in the world, you know?
Well, is college football the best football in the world? No. But it's popular, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's you just don't like soccer. you don't know soccer and you don't like soccer.
Oh, I am getting into Canada's little foray to the World Cup.
Yeah, because you're a bandwagon jumper. Because now they're good. If they weren't good, you would not pay attention.
I do always want them to do well, even when they're bad. But I've gone out and watched matches of theirs lately. And I actually considered going to their Canada-U.S. game in Hamilton, but it's sold out already.
You considered going in your hotel. Is it sold out? Yeah.
Sold out already. Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Somebody told me, actually, that the World Cup is going to go to Hamilton. And
wow.
No, in the soccer world, they told me this. Like, yeah, like this wasn't not someone on the street. Like, someone in MLS actually told me. Someone at the White Caps. I said to them, "What's the deal with with the World Cup?"
Going to be one of the Canadian cities for the World Cup, Hamilton. Wow, that'd be.
No, I'm not. Don't make it official, because I got to be honest. And no offense, but I think that's a horrible idea. Like, you know what I mean? We're not sending the world to Hamilton.
No.
Sorry, Babano. I kind of want to be a joke. Like, I get it. It's a nice little.
No, I like my city. It's got nice restaurants and that, but.
People are coming from France and Italy, and Portugal, and stuff. Hey, we're gonna set you up in the hammer. Come on, man. Right? Like, no. I don't know, man. Montreal abandoned ship. Montreal was supposed to do it, and they said, no, we're out. And Vancouver doesn't want to do it for whatever reason. Vancouver doesn't want to pay. So Vancouver's like, no, we're not paying for this. So I guess it's basically a process of elimination. And as you stated, the game sold out. I guess Hamilton supports soccer, right? You got a little base going. So that's great. You were going to go, it would have been sold out. You can watch on TV and criticize it instead. But you'd be sitting there going, oh, this is a little slow pace for me.
Probably will, yeah.
You'd just be complaining.
Sure.
So Monday night, we just had the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Buffalo Sabres. Jackets -115 overnight right now, total 5.5. And the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars battling. You know, I know you've been talking about how teams, it sucks for the bye and stuff. Some teams, like you look at the Patriots, they were rolling. And, you know, they stumbled out of the bye. The Miami Dolphins were on a 5-game win cover streak. They still won the game. But similar situation in hockey, Babano. Speaking of the Vancouver Canucks, what a horrible time just for all this to be hitting right now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
These guys are killing it. They, you know what I mean? They've proven it wasn't just at home. They went on the road. They win. The team chemistry is great. They were having fun. And then, boom, the carpet gets pulled out from underneath them. And don't forget, they went through hell last year with this COVID stuff, man. They didn't play for like 3 weeks. And then, remember, Babano, they played what was it, 19 games in 26 days or something stupid like that after? Like, it was nuts, man, what they went through.
They did, and they are one of the teams that might be hurt by this because they've got obviously the positive vibes going. Things are working for the Canucks with Bruce Boudreau since he's been there. They're still unbeaten. I thought they were actually going to beat Toronto, and then all of a sudden that game got postponed. And now we're not going to see the Canucks again for over a week. I mean, they're going to be their next game is going to be Seattle at Vancouver, Monday, December 27th. That's over a week away. And you talk about disrupting momentum and chemistry and rhythm. That's what this break does, and it comes at the worst possible time. Brock Besser's scoring again. Elias Pettersson's come back to life. Thatcher Demko's playing good. This is the best team defense I've seen the Canucks play in a long time since Bruce Boudreau's taken over. And now all of that, you put it on pause. All of this great, complete team game that we've seen from the Canucks. And now you're going to have to try to find it all over again in over a week.
The only thing, though, Babeno, that I guess we can say, it doesn't really matter. Everybody's on pause. Like, you know what
exactly,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're not losing ground. Like, it's not like, oh, well, this team's hot now. We're not now. No, well, they're not playing either. Right? Like, their rivals aren't playing. For the most part. And I guess you could also sort of make an argument that, yeah, okay, you know what I mean, they were winning. I'm sure Boudreau, though, like the players probably are like, damn, I wish we were playing a game tonight again. But I'm sure Boudreau behind the scenes would tell you, you know what, we're on a roll here, but now this gives me a chance to implement some stuff as well, right? You know what I mean? Because they can practice, right? So let's talk about the bowl game here. Where are we going here? So Myrtle Beach. It's the Myrtle Beach Bowl. Tulsa versus Old Dominion. I'm not a big fan of the motivation stuff. You know that, Babano, but I'm also not going to dispute here. Tulsa had a disappointing campaign this year. They, you know, they had 18 of their 22 starters were back.
I did warn you about BYU, Gabe. I hate to bring up bad memories, but I was worried about them last time we talked.
Yeah, they were up, though, as well. I just think that was UAB were good, Babano.
Like, they are good. Great coach.
That's just what it was. Like, wasn't it BYU didn't care? That's the thing. There's a difference, right? Look at BYU. They cared. They were upset when they lost, weren't they? Like, so they clearly cared. UAB, that was one of the best performances of the weekend. That was a great man. Those guys were just flying around. So Old Dominion will be the same thing. These guys are going to be flying around. They're going to, you know what I mean? They're a new D1 school. They're trying to make a name for themselves. And then you got Tulsa. You can't say Tulsa won't care either because they won their last three games to get here.
Yeah.
So like both these teams stumbled out of the gate and both these teams got hot late, basically. Like Old Dominion was like Old Dominion are smoking hot down the stretch. And same with Tulsa. Like I said, we can't say, oh well, Tulsa or no that or whatever. No, if they didn't care, they would have tapped out on the year and they wouldn't have been desperate to get to 6-6 to get here. I just don't think I think the point spread's just high. You know, you throw out all that other stuff. It's just a lot of points to be laying between two pretty evenly matched teams.
Yeah, and I'll say this about Tulsa. Their offense is nothing special. All year, they've not had a great offensive team by any stretch. Their quarterback's been mediocre at best, Davis Brin. They got to try to run the football. And Old Dominion went on this tear to get to a bowl game. A terrific coaching job by Ricky Ronnie. He changed quarterbacks midway through the season, and that's when the good run started. They went to Hayden Wolf, the quarterback, and he played great down the stretch. I'm with you. And plus, an opening weekend where underdogs and overs were the dominant theme. You know, the majority of the games were dogs covering and the game going over the total. And that often happens in the early bowl games. I think Old Dominion's worth a look here, getting 8.5, 9. And Conference USA had a nice opening weekend. Middle Tennessee State beat Toledo. UAB beat BYU. I mean, all of a sudden, we were slamming Conference USA for being bad the last and being way down the last couple of years. A couple of these teams have had good bowl results already. So maybe Old Dominion can add to it for Conference USA. I think they stay inside the number. I think they have a chance to win.
One thing, too, about Old Dominion, you see this with teams like this a lot. When people look at their record and, oh, they did this and that. Well, look at their schedule. They were at Wake Forest. Wake Forest really good this year. You're not beating Wake Forest. Liberty. You don't have a hope in hell against Liberty and Malik.
They made some good teams early on, no doubt about it.
See, there's another one. If you want to play, I'll remind you stuff. I told you, like, Malik Willis would be motivated, right? Liberty, and he's, oh, I don't know about the low-tier bowl game. Yeah, he's trying to make tens of millions of dollars in the NFL. Man, they smoked those guys.
Especially with Pickett and other quarterbacks opting not to play in their bowl game for guys going into the draft.
Yeah, that doesn't matter, though. I don't think the NFL, like in the grand scheme, Babeno, I don't think it hurts you one way or the other. Like, if you stay and play, it doesn't mean you're going to get drafted higher. And I think if you bail on your team, I don't think they care either. I think it's sort of been proven now. But we got to get out of here. Ian Cameron, follow him on Twitter at Babeno. Always a pleasure, Babeno. Thanks for stepping up and in.
Always good, Gabe. Thanks.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You think I'm dead, but I'm not. Late Night Anger Management Class. Quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio. Wrapping things up, we've got an early morning kickoff, actually. Good stuff. Was it 2:30 Eastern time, this football game? Myrtle Beach Bowl, Tulsa Old Dominion. It's going to be a fun game. I think, you know, looking at this game, and, I got to clear my head after Sunday and everything, and we'll really focus in. We really did well to start off the bowls. Hit a little bit of a speed bump on Saturday night with the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, just the total and stuff like that. But we've been in a pretty good zone. We'll get back into it. This is one of the trickier bowl games. It is and it isn't, in a sense. Listen, Old Dominion are going to be fired up and excited. But what happens a lot of the times with these teams, they get fired up and excited, they get worn out. The physicality of Tulsa is much different than Old Dominion. All right, Tulsa are the real deal. Right, like Tulsa underachieved this year. They had problems. You know, I don't know if they came in overconfident, because they last year they had one of the nastiest defenses in football, and this year they lost some guys to the NFL. They lost some other guys. Their offense wasn't as good this year. That was the thing. The quarterback just didn't get into a rhythm ever really. But then they were 3-6 and they rattled off three straight games to get to the bowl game. So it's not like they tapped out on the year. And Old Dominion were 1-6 and won 5 straight. Now, Old Dominion didn't beat a team with a winning record this year, I don't think. They didn't beat like, you know what I mean? If you look, all right, they beat teams that were worse than them. Their offense got better as the year went on. Like, you look at Tulsa beat SMU this year. Right? Tulsa beat Memphis this year. Tulsa lost by, 6-7 points to Cincinnati. So, like, if Tulsa show up, Old Dominion are going to be a little bit of trouble. I think the way to go here is the over. I think that's the best bet because it's low enough at 53.5. It's a very manageable number. And I think that Old Dominion in the first quarter, like first half type of deal. Follow me on Twitter at SportsRage. We'll post our final picks. Old Dominion hang around early, and it could get away from them as the game goes on. Late Night Anger Management Class done. Other night, you're on your own. Later.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't. And
wish. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.